Hello, Facebook. Hello, Emily.
Hello.
How are you? How
I'm, I am rather splendid, actually. Oh, good.
You are venturing out for the first time in 16 days.
I know. I've literally been, I was just telling you, I went
Hello,
to Vegas,
Facebook.
Came
Hello,
back.
Emily.
Obviously, I wanted to make sure that I'm,
how are you?
How I was in self-isolation.
I am rather
splendid,
I stayed
in 16
oh,
days.
Good.
You are venturing out
and
for the
I've literally today just gone.
I know.
To the
I've literally been.
When
I was just
car.
Telling you. I've got some
more
papers in self isolation.
I am.
And I've just
in
come to my marriage
stage
for 16 days.
Which I've been doing at home
anyway. But it's nice to actually go and see some people. So I feel like I've just literally just been at home, like on my own. Even though, don't get me wrong, I do love being on my own. So I like my own company, but it has been driving me a little bit crazy. And at first I was like, you know, I can do this. This is going to be cool. Have my own routine. I work out last couple of days. Thought I was literally going to kill someone, even though I couldn't. So there was no one to do, like to even kill. So I'm glad to just be around my family. But I wanted to make sure that obviously I didn't have the virus. So, yeah, it's nice to be here. Have you been coping at home?
Well,
what's it like over in America?
Not nearly as probably as stringent as I should be. I still get out probably about once or twice a week, and I'll go to a buddy's house and shoot some videos for the podcast, hit some balls, you know, do all the things I'm probably not supposed to be doing. But it's just us, so I think it's okay. But who knows? Yeah.
Well, I think we're on lockdown a lot more than what you guys are. Like, for instance, in the UK, You're only allowed to go out for essential work. So if you obviously like work for the NHS, and you can only go out for like food or medicine if you desperately need it, and one form of exercise a day. So it's literally it's really really closed down recently, which is I think it's good. It kind of needs to happen, but I feel like the US is probably a little bit more lenient, aren't they, at the moment?
We still even have states that you can still do like everything as normal. You don't even have to like shut down at all. We still have a couple states that are like that.
Oh god!
Just 2 days ago, Florida finally went down. When Florida's got like, I mean, somebody's gonna fact check me and tell me I'm an idiot, but I think there's like 35 million people that live in Florida. And so 35 million people just until 2 days ago were able to do whatever they wanted to do. There was no lockdown at all. So
I feel like Florida's obviously it's always been on the map, but it's really come on the map as well as Oklahoma since that whole Tiger King thing. But have you watched it?
I have not.
You haven't watched Tiger King?
I'm the only person in the world that hasn't seen it yet.
Oh my god, it's literally the best thing. It's so good, honestly.
I think I'm the only person in the country who hasn't yet, but
oh my god,
I plan to.
Okay, you need to. It's only like 6 episodes long or something like that, but it definitely sets the time by, and it's definitely a little bit of an eye-opener. But I definitely didn't even know where Oklahoma was, and now all of a sudden I do. Even though like our vice captain's from there, that's the only reason like I know it. So
Tiger King and vice captains.
Yeah, I'm saying Joey Gray's like the Tiger King's Joe Exotic, but no, it's good. But to be fair, Joey Gray has been literally sending me workouts every day, so because
I would listen to him. He's jacked.
Yeah, well, obviously, I don't want to be, like, jacked up like that, but our gym my building at home, it's all obviously been closed, so you have to do home workouts, and there's only so much you can just keep running every day, because it's so boring.
Yeah.
And so he's literally sent me workouts every single day, where I have to follow what he does, and I literally, he'll send it to me, like, I think with the time difference, I get it first thing in the morning. Obviously, when I wake up and I'm just like, the stuff he's doing, I'm like, oh my god, obviously, like, I can't do that. And sometimes I just need, like, a day off as such, but I feel like he's just going to shame me or be disappointed. But honestly, I would not have done anywhere near as well, like, working out if it wasn't for him, because he motivates me with it. So Team USA are in for a real, like, they're going to be motivated, like, especially having him as vice captain as well. So it was definitely a good choice from Jeremy.
If nothing else, so gonna, if it turns into a fisticuffs match, you know, I got my money on Joey's team.
Yeah, Joey and Jeremy 100% will have it, yeah. I mean, Europe will have no chance in that respect.
Well, to be fair, Carl doesn't help much, right? I mean, doesn't seem like much of a scrapper, him.
I feel like he's all talk and no action. But also, there was a funny story that it was obviously a little bit before my time being in the job role that I was in. But apparently, Cowboys and... it was a USA player. It was at a Moscone Cup in Vegas. Obviously, I wasn't there. Where they proper had a, like, they tried to square up to each other. I feel like it was him and Dennis Hatch. But I don't know I don't know if that's true or not. But
I mean, that would sound right. I mean, that...
Yeah. But the word in the office was that Carl wouldn't have had any chance whatsoever. So.
Well, you heard it here. You heard it here first, Carl.
Sorry, Carl.
Yeah. So I guess we can probably start the interview. I don't think people came to listen to us. Although, well, talk about our lives. But, you know, it's kind of fun, right? What do people have better to do on a Friday afternoon these days, right?
if anyone's getting bored, I can just play some pool in the background here because I didn't even realize that. My parents have this at their house, and like I was saying earlier, we should start renting this out to any sort of ball players that want to have a table here. So if the chat does get boring, then maybe I can show everyone my pool skills.
Do those exist?
No, I'm just a lucky motherfucker. That's basically all I say. I'm terrible at pool. I've got zero skill, but I'm a lucky motherfucker. So you'd always want me on your team, basically.
All right. Well, I will remember that in Moscone next year. we will get to that later on. So, but we will start with let's start with the Masters, because those were, I guess, last week. And congratulations to the person who won. Just kidding. That was a bad joke. Bad joke.
What are...
Oh my God. What does the future of the Masters look like at this point? Do we have a date that we're looking at? Any sort of venues? Same venue? What does it look like?
Yeah, we'll be staying in Gibraltar. Won't go anywhere else. We have a couple of dates in mind. Obviously, we can't schedule it too early because we don't want to be in the position where, you know, we announce something in July and we're not in a position to do that. In our mind, we don't see that any events are actually going to be allowed to happen or, you know, physically happen until sort of after August, September, really. So we're kind of planning to get it as soon as possible, but obviously not set our sights obviously too early as such. So what we're just trying to do is just work with the broadcaster availability. Obviously, the venue in Gibraltar and the government in Gibraltar has to obviously go through all of them. So we have a couple of dates in mind, but we also don't want to clash with any of the pool events that are currently on the calendar. So you've got the International Open, events like that, and we can't clash with our own Matchroom sport events. You know, we can't clash with the darts. We can't clash with our own multi-sport events as such, and we've got multiple sports happening from September to December, so then they're just not one day events as such. So we're really trying to figure out what's happening with the Whirlpool Masters. I think what's difficult is knowing that we've got 24 international players coming over, so even if the UK and Gibraltar are happy to go ahead with something, what's not to say that three of our USA players can't make it over? So that's why we need to make sure that we make it, you know, as far in advance as possible. But also working with every schedule. Honestly, it's scheduling and rescheduling has been the most stressful thing that I've ever done. I think I said it to you the other day. Aside from, I think it was Moscone Cup 2016 at Alexandra Palace day one and US Open rig day, this has probably been the most stressful thing that you ever have to do, because the rescheduling amongst all of the different factors that you've got normally, but now it's like all of a sudden live sport is in this sort of famine. There's no live sport on TV, and now all of a sudden come September you've got football, like soccer, that is just going to be jam-packed. They've got to finish the rest of their sort of league or series up as such, and it's going to be football, football, football. And I hate to say it, and Paul fans, please don't be upset about it, but we are so at the bottom of the food chain when it comes to things like that. So we have to find the right dates that broadcasters are obviously happy with. So it's just trying to make that happen. But we're confident the World Pool Masters will be scheduled as soon as possible. I'd say from August or September. We're just trying to fit that in, basically. And it's such a shame because we had so many good plans for it as well. We had this new studio. We had this new setup. We're at this new venue that was like an updated version of the old one we were at. And instead of all of the presentation in front of the table, we built this bespoke studio where the guests would sit up there. They could talk in between the racks. And we just had, like, we'd got more cameras in, spent more money on staging. And we were getting so pumped up and so excited about all this new stuff that we'd actually done to increase the production of the World Pool Masters. Because now, all of a sudden, we've got the 24 best players, bar the fans' choice. Sorry, Chris Melling. We've got 24 best players, and then it should be the best production as well. And so we feel like that's what we're kind of doing. And it's just obviously it's so frustrating that, you know, these things happen. And like I said before, it gives us even more time to plan and prep. So we're going to be in a much better position in a couple of months' time with a much better event as such. So.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, you got me excited just listening to that.
Yeah.
The stuff in between matches sounds like fascinating. I think that's one of the biggest things lacking from pool right now is the promoters up until, like, let's say a couple of years ago, there was not a lot of personality that you actually got from the players. And there are a lot of players that have really fascinating personalities. Sky Woodward jumps to mind right away in a sense that, like, I would say 2 to 3 years ago, he was known as a player for sure, but he has a really, really cool, goofy personality that a lot of people don't get to see. And now with a lot of these different changes, we might get to a little bit more insight on who these people actually are. I think that'd be awesome.
Definitely. And the thing is with Skyler, I think we tried to put him in the commentary box at the World Cup pool last year. And my fear was that he would swear too much or he'd say something. And he actually was very good, but he needs a lot more training and a lot more coaching in it. And that's where, for instance, everyone thinks that commentary can be sort of so easy as such. You know, you're a pool player as such and you comment on what you're seeing, but it's so much more, it's bigger than that. You've got over 100 different broadcasters that this is going to worldwide who are taking the commentary. They're all taking the commentary. It's only a few that do their own commentary. So Alex Laney sometimes does commentary for snooker for the broadcasters in for Netherlands. But for instance, there's going to breaks, there's coming back from breaks, there's the welcome backs, and you've got to be obviously trained in things like that. And it's not just a Facebook Live or a YouTube as such. You know, these are broadcasters all around the world, and so everyone needs the training and such. And I feel like they're getting much better at it, and we have got this really good little team of commentators, and it just so happens that they are our Moscone Cup captains. I mean, kill two birds with one stone, right?
Yeah, right. Are you trying to tell me that I am not qualified to be one of your announcers because I do Facebook Live?
No, there's nothing against Facebook Live. I'm just saying that there is a lot more to a broadcast than what there is on Facebook. No, I mean, we're sitting on Facebook Live now, so but there's just a lot more to it that I think sometimes people don't. I'm not saying, I mean, I couldn't do it. I don't know how they do it. It's difficult. But what I was trying to say, that where we introduce this studio, you go from now the comms box and you're sitting in this studio and it's all in vision as well. And so it's going to be so much more exciting. And we're trialing, World Pool Masters was going to be our first event. We were going to do it, followed by obviously the World Cup of Pool. And we were going to trial at the US Open an open-aired studio.
So a lot more fancier things that we were planning to do for the production this year. But doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It just means it's going to be slightly delayed. Like I said, gives us a little bit more time, which is fine. Just means we can perfect things a little bit more.
For sure. So then the question about the entries. So when the Whirlpool Masters scheduling was kind of going on, some of the, obviously the Chinese players were excluded out from the field. Wu Zhiqing, yep. Simeon Chen. So, when this does happen, what does the entry fee, or what does the field of players actually look like? Do Wu Zhiqing and Simeon Chen get their spots back? How is that going to work?
Yeah, so after, obviously, Clint Ikachi, his little arguments on Facebook with me back and forth, he's going to get taken out and replaced with one of the Chinese players. And then the fans' choice, I think, is going to get replaced as well. And unfortunately, Dennis Grabe loses his place to Johan Chua. And obviously, I'm completely joking that we would never do that.
That's pretty good. Do that.
No, it's obviously a very unfortunate situation. And it's very frustrating that we had this 4-24 lineup. Obviously, with Siming Chen and Wu, that the virus obviously started earlier on for them. And that's why they got replaced with Kelly Fisher and Jasmine Ocean, which I think were absolutely fantastic choices. Very biased because, but also Johan Chua was very unfortunate with his visa situation. So we felt that the right thing to do was to bring in Dennis Grabe. Felt that he was the next best player. We did want to bring in another Filipino player, but obviously the problem was around a visa issue. So there's no point trying to go down that line. But we felt the next best player on the rankings and on the scene was Dennis Grabe. But to confirm, we will be going ahead with all 24 players as we have recently announced. So the draw that we did will all be as it was, and we will keep it all as that. It's just the dates that are going to change.
For sure. Well, so those are my questions for the Masters. Let's, if you're okay, unless there's anything else you'd like to discuss for it.
Goodness. No, I think I'm good on the Masters. It was just really an increased production, to be honest, which is going to be very exciting. But everyone's going to be able to see it, so yeah. I'm not worried about that. I'm just a bit disappointed. But it's fine.
So the U.S. Open, we'll go chronologically, I guess, chronologically in the way that it was supposed to be. So the U.S. Open, obviously next up. Do we have any new updates with that?
No, and to be completely honest, to give everyone, I think like my recent post that I did, sort of like a letter out to everyone, we want to be as transparent as possible to everyone out there. I think these are such difficult times right now that no one wants to be lied to. No one wants to. There's no point in that happening. As soon as we know something, we're going to make sure that we let everyone know. But obviously, we need things to be finalised and confirmed. It's tough scheduling the US Open, I'm not going to lie. I think the most recent dates that I just received tonight was to go over Christmas. So that's how difficult it is, because you've got a venue like Mandalay Bay that is the biggest convention space in Las Vegas. And so everyone would think, oh, they've got plenty of room. No. Annoyingly, we have 256 players and we have 33 tables as a double elimination room. That room alone needs to be big enough. Then we've got the TV arena that needs to be next door. So we need to have two separate arenas within one as such. Also, it's a 6-day event. You need two build days for it. We found this out last year that one build day was just not enough. And I told contractors and I told we wouldn't do that again. It was too tough. So we need 8 days in a very prestigious, in high demand venue where all of these events are cancelling and they're all rescheduling. And so all of a sudden, again, you think you're up here, but really you're down here at the bottom of the food chain. And it's tough, but it's just working every day to try and find, what works best. And we don't want to clash with any of our all events that are currently scheduled out there.
And I'm assuming that the contract that you guys have with Mandalay Bay, you have to hold it there. So there's...
Well, fortunately, we have a very good relationship with MGM. So if it's a case of looking at other properties, then potentially that is the case. But again, Mandalay Bay is the biggest space for us. So if we're not going to find it in Mandalay Bay, then we're going to struggle somewhere else. If it means that we have to go next year, then we have to go next year. But we don't want to, but we are bound by all of these factors that are going against us, really. And there's no point rushing something. We're going to be around for a very long time. We're only going to get better each year. So there's no point just rushing something for the sake of it. Let's get our dates right. Let's make sure we don't clash with any big events, any big expos. And let's make sure that the players actually have every opportunity to earn some money. For the players, if two big events clashed, they've just gone from this famine of where they're not playing any pool, they're not earning any money. We don't want to be clashing any events for them. So US Open, we're still working on it. It is bloody difficult, I'm not going to lie. But we'll find some dates, and as soon as we have anything, we're going to let everyone know.
For sure. Hey, you could run them back-to-back. The 2020 champion and the 2021 champion could be ran in a two-week stretch.
No, don't be so ridiculous. We can't find 8 days. I'm going to find 16 days. Well, 15 days, take away one of the rig days. But, yeah, I don't think that's
happened. Yeah. It could be fun to try. No, I'm just kidding. What happens, so as of right now, for the U.S. Mm-hmm. Open, of course, it's so hard to speculate in all these questions because you can't even get dates nailed down, but do you still hope and plan to run a full 256 field, and is there a waiting list if people need to back out if it's a date that doesn't? How's that going to work?
Oh, for this event that's being postponed? Yeah, it's a good question. We're going to be focused on 256. We're not going to take a step back on that. We actually haven't had as much as we are showing, and we want all players to ask if they want a refund. We haven't really had any of those, probably in ranging around 10 players that have asked for a refund or asked for more information. I think, fortunately enough, the players know that we are going to be returning and at the right dates and at the right time. So I think they have a little bit of faith in us. It's obviously depending on when it does get rescheduled by, if players do need that money back. And then obviously if it's quite a big chunk of time until the event happens and they need their money back, then that's absolutely fine. But we are aiming for a 256 player field. We had over, I think by the time we were getting closer, we were having over 140 on the waiting list. And when it came to that point where Trump said Europe couldn't fly to the US and UK was still fine, we only actually had about 30 to 40 players that were actually affected on our entry list. And at that point, we even started bringing in players. So we're confident the 256 player field. And, you know, if people do drop out, then we'll find a way and we'll make sure that we fill it up. We're set on 256 players, definitely.
Yeah. And so everybody who's watching this live, we are going to have a question and answer afterwards. So if you want to get your questions into the lobby, feel free. When the time comes, we will be going through them and answering the good ones. So do not hesitate to get those questions out there. And, of course, so we can move on. And we can talk about the World Cup of Pool, because that is coming up now. Well, maybe it is. Maybe it is. I hope
you
it
tell
is.
By my response.
Yeah, no, it's not looking good, huh?
Oh, good. World Cup of Pool. Do you know, I'm so sorry I'm answering your question, but if you can hear my mum in the background.
Oh, we can hear. Yeah, we can totally hear.
Mum, you know everyone can hear you talking.
So the real question is, are we gonna get a little bit of time to interview your mom too? I think
definitely not.
I think we should ask her a lot of questions.
No, she is in her dressing gown. She's got her feet up. She's watching her program. Maybe I'll do a little sneak preview. Sorry, I'm totally sidetracking. So my mum's sitting on the sofa watching her Coronation Street EastEnders.
Is she watching
in America.
The Tiger Show?
No, that's not
the Tiger
Show.
She's not watching the
Tiger Show. No. My dad is actually sat on the dining. He's sat in the dining room table, and he's been playing poker every night, online poker. That he actually used to play in Matchroom events and knew obviously Barry and Eddie, and that's how I got like a job running around making teas and coffees for people. But long old story anyway. So he's been sitting playing online poker every night, which he's absolutely loving. So he's sitting there, and then I have my younger sister, and she's sitting there doing like an online pub quiz with her friends. So it's kind of like, and we have a dog running around, so it's just madness. Like,
can
I'm
you hear
used
the dog
living
too?
On my own.
Well, like, you got to get all the craziness from the last 16 days out.
I know, it's crazy, but no, it's all good. And sorry, World Cup of Porn. As you get my mum to answer, right?
Yeah, right.
So,
or maybe the dog. The dog looks, the dog sounds like it has a great voice.
World Cup is a difficult one at the moment. Obviously, touched base on it slightly earlier. The way that we're kind of envisioning all of our events across Matchroom at the moment is that we're very much led by government advice and obviously restrictions as well. And the way that we see it at the moment is that anything in May and June is just not going to work for us at the moment. Everyone is very much on lockdown. We've got, for the World Cup, we've got 64 players to think about from all over the world. So not only do we have to think about actually holding an event in a different country, we have to think about everyone from China, from Philippines, everyone coming over, visas and things like that. So like what I said before, we're taking each day as it comes. But wouldn't be surprised if you hear that something gets rescheduled, because it's just, I mean, I think everyone can kind of see what's happening right now. There's a lot of lockdowns even here in the UK.
It might be tough
until the middle of May.
It might be tough to find 30 countries that allow travellers.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's not the end of the world if we reschedule. Like I said, we just do it when the time is right. There's no point rushing it, but no decisions have been made yet. Obviously, World Masters was in March. US Open was in April. We have no pool events in May. And our next events that are in June, we have the 10-pin bowling event, the Weber Cup, which is our version of the Moscone Cup, USA versus Europe. And then we have the World Cup pool scheduled for the end of June. And at the moment, we are looking at both of those events and saying, okay, how can we move these? And let's look at rescheduling. So, like I said, no decisions have been made yet, but let's be sensible. Let's look at the current situation. And it's difficult at the moment. So not a lot to say on the World Cup pool. But like I said, once anything does get confirmed, we'll make sure that everyone knows about it.
For sure. So it's kind of tough to add, it's tough to even ask questions at this point, but I could still ask, you know, some general questions about the World Cup of Pool. This is going to be in Saudi Arabia this year.
Yes.
That's pretty exciting for the first time.
Yeah, and I've been there, I think I want to say like four or five times now. I went for the boxing, for Anthony Joshua fight. I really like it over there.
That was a great fight too.
That was
a great fight.
You should have seen us Matchroom staff. We were standing like right by the corner of the ring, like behind the cameras. And just obviously for us, you know, it's the rematch, you know, it affects us so much at Matchroom. Obviously, any outcome like that, not even the way people think it is on the business side, but just morale in the office as such. And so it was just so fantastic. And we all kind of just, as it was happening, it was just such an incredible atmosphere after he won, and such a great feeling for everyone. But it's really good there, very hospitable. They treat you like royalty. Food is absolutely bloody fabulous.
So, yeah, I'm really, really excited about doing an event over there. They've got snooker that's going to be there in October as well. So, very excited.
Yeah, and so the question that leads is, normally the host country gets two teams. Is that going to be the same with Saudi Arabia?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Every time, every host country gets two teams. We'll never break that rule.
Okay.
And Great Britain is staying as Great Britain. No England, Scotland, Wales, it's Great Britain.
So that is directed completely at Jason Shaw.
Yeah, but I think he knows. I think, you know, I'm pretty sure Jason will be the first person behind me to say that that's 100% the right call. There's just not enough English players that are playing the entire circuit right now. You know, I was out in Vegas for the recent events, and there's not that many English players that are there. So doing it from Great Britain is a much more sensible option. So you've got, it's also a little bit unfair. You've got all of these fantastic players from Taiwan, China, and all of these other players that don't really get their shot. So for instance, Chile last year. So Chile could sometimes be taken up from, say, Wales team. But Chile really sort of went under, they would always go under the radar, but they did fantastic last year. And that's what we should be doing. They're the teams that we should be bringing in. I mean, if it changes in a couple of years' time, and there's all of a sudden 10 real top of their game pros coming from England, Scotland, Wales, then so be it. Then let's look at it again and revisit the conversation. But right now, it's Great Britain.
Yeah. And yeah, a lot of the, I mean, Carl and I talked about this in the podcast we did this last week, was he doesn't play really much anymore. Darren is getting back into the scene. It's nice seeing Darren Appleton
playing. Yeah, I've seen that.
It's actually really nice getting to see him play. He's such a kind of milestone of pool in the last 15 to 20 years, that when he kind of took a little hiatus there for a little while, it's almost weird not seeing him at events. But, you know, Darren, you know, well, I guess going back, Peach, Mark Gray, players like that that have been a staple of the UK pool is, or I should say Great Britain pool. You don't see them around very often anymore.
No, and it's no disrespect to them at all. But if they were obviously out playing the entire world scene, then it'd be a different kettle of fish. But at the moment, we're not seeing it. We've seen it in the most recent Moscone Cup teams. Yeah. Who are the players that are making it? It's not a load of English guys. Yeah. So it's obviously a very tricky one. But like I said, if it changes in a couple of years, then we change the criteria. It's no problem. Things can be adapted and things can be changed.
So I can't believe I didn't start out with this. This is like a dereliction of duty on my part. $500,000 for the prize fund for that is crazy. $120,000 to first place.
I know. And the World Cup pool prize money has never changed. It's always sat at $250,000. And that's always been something sitting in the back of my mind that's frustrated me. We've been slowly increasing the World Pool Masters. We're currently at 100,000 for the World Pool Masters. And I'm even that, I'm like, look, we've got the 24 best players in the world. It is the Masters event. We need to increase the prize money. So the plan was for this year, increase the production. Let's get some more broadcasters. Let's get some more viewing figures. And then next year, let's increase the prize money. So that's the kind of thought process. And we've been like that for the World Cup pool as well. And regardless of where we were going to go this year for the World Cup, we were going to increase the prize money. It has definitely been about time that we needed to do it. So obviously very good news for pool players. It's a huge event. But we've kind of set ourselves up, really, because we've set the World Cup of Pool so high, and now we need to follow suit a little bit with our other
doubling
events. I know, right? But there's no rush. We know what we're doing. Take things step by step, and we'll do what's right for the players, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. That's $120,000 for first place. Of course, it's being split, but as a pool player, where are you getting $60,000 in a single, you know, anywhere? That's and it, I mean, it's even more, it's even nicer that we're hearing that, you know, you're looking at this for all the events. So, I mean,
yeah, not quite that scale though, but it's always in our mind. But the first thing is, we need to increase viewership. We cannot increase prize money. People don't understand that. We don't just have a bag of money just sitting there going, oh, we're just going to slowly put some prize money out for this year. So we need viewership. We need people tuning in. And we need people interested. But unfortunately, even though pool is participated everywhere in the world and it's this huge game, people aren't tuning in for it. And this is why we have to keep on our toes for the format, the production, and make sure that when people tune in, they're engaged, they're staying tuned in, and then they come back for more. So we need to make sure it's exciting when you're there as a fan, a ticket buyer, because without a fan in that audience, there is no atmosphere. We need to make sure that the person sitting at home, flicking through the channels and all of a sudden stumbles across the Whirlpool Masters or a screaming 3,000 capacity Moscone Cup crowd, they stay, and then all of a sudden they're hooked. And we also need to engage with the pool fans that are already out there that love the game as much as you and I do. So it's all slowly but surely. It's all, everything is set in our mind to obviously try and increase prize money as much as possible. But I'd like more events as well.
For sure.
So,
as I'm monitoring balance. The chat, there's some people that are important enough that they can get their question asked ahead of time. And Shane Van Boning asks, what do you think the percentage for the World Cup of Pool happening this year?
Very, very likely this year. Very likely. I could turn around to you now and go, yeah, 100% is happening this year. Then all of a sudden the government turn around and go, right, no events until 2021. So that's why I'm saying very, very likely. Our aim is that we reschedule if we need to and that we'll sit in within 2020. We want the event to go ahead as much as all of our other events. But again, we have to look at all of our shows and we have to make sure that it works with venues, broadcasters, but we are aiming for it to happen this year. It will be extremely extremely unlikely and unlucky if it doesn't.
I'm not totally sure.
He could have just texted me that. He could have just texted me that. I don't know why he said this in the chat, Shane.
I don't know. Why not? Has the US team been announced? Is Shane going to make the US team?
Oh, I don't know. Not just, sure.
Just kidding, Shane. Don't get mad at me. So, I think at this point we can move on to the most important event of all of the Matchroom events. This is my opinion. And if anybody disagrees with me, you're wrong. Mm. The Moscone Cup.
It's a great bloody event. It's a bloody good event.
It's the best, right?
Sorry, I'm jumping in, but the reruns that are happening at the moment,
wild.
I just tune in every so often and I'm like, without blowing our own trumpet, we're kind of like, oh my god, we're so fucking good at what we do. It's such a good event.
It is.
You know what I love the most about it is how much USA actually got on board. And I've noticed it more in the last 2 years. And it's kind of made Europe step, like, just forget about the results side.
It's amazing what results happens when we don't lose every year.
Well, exactly. But yeah. Results aside, just looking at the two teams, looking at those 10 players and the captains that are all out there, they are so much more engaged with each other and they're actually a team. Yeah. And it's so exciting. That's what I get excited about. That is what I see, that fire, and that's what gives me that passion to do even better the next year, because I see that passion from the players. You kind of want to do it for them, and then there's no feeling that when you're standing there and you're looking around the arena, you look at the players that are sitting on the bench and how they're engaged with the game that's happening. You're looking at the players who are actually playing, but then you also look at, I always just look around at everyone sitting in their seats, and when I see people having a good time and they're enjoying themselves and they're going out for autographs with the players and they're getting involved, that's that fire that
you go, okay, we're doing this right, and we want to keep doing it that way, sort of thing. And the Moscone Cup is such a great event for that. And like I said, looking back at the reruns that we've been showing,
I still
it's
get
just
nervous.
Great to find. It doesn't. You get the hairs like on the back of your neck come up, and to just see the players just so excited about it, and actually be a close event and close score. Oh my goodness, it's just such. You know, we were sitting in the office, and I think it was after 2017. 2017 Moscone Cup was the worst event I've ever done in my life. Worst event, and I say that. I've said it quite a few times. I hated it. It was just horrible. Everything, every part of it. And we kind of come away from it and thought, okay, well, broadcasters don't really want this anymore because it's so one-sided. People aren't staying in to watch because it's not enjoyable. I know some people want to watch Europe's like just spank the Yanks, but at the end of the day, that's not my attitude. I'm sorry, but it's not.
Every time I hear that, I just bust out laughing. That's such a funny line.
Yeah, I know. And we were kind of sitting here thinking, okay, we're going to have to turn this a bit gimmicky. We're going to have to make this into a TV show. And I'm so glad that we just gave it another year and just thought, no, let's keep with it. And it worked. And I've got a very good feeling about the two teams this year. I like how Team USA are. I've got quite a different bond with them now because I feel like they're just like the children that I never wanted. Like I'm this naggy mum, or like they probably just think I'm just this mum or a bitch. But they're like the children that I love and hate at the same time, but not children because some of them are old enough to even not happen. But we've just had like, it's a very good bond. Just purely because they now want it. You know, the Europeans have always wanted it, and they've always been a bit more of a team. They've always gelled with one another. They've always engaged on social media, engaged in the promotion. Whereas Team USA, they're a different kettle of fish now. Very different. So I don't even know what... Yeah, you started talking about the Moscone Cup, and I just went off on one, didn't I? I'm so
well,
sorry.
I will jump in now. I have my tickets booked for Moscone as of today. Well, my flights anyways. I don't have the tickets booked, and I don't have the tickets booked because for anybody who's a podcast listener, not just in here just checking it out because Emily Frazier's here, big deal. The podcast is hoping to actually have a viewer section that we can get a bunch of tickets for. So I have not booked the tickets for the event yet, but I have my flights and my hotel booked. So, if you would like to...
How much are your flights, by the way?
I booked with credit card rewards. And the credit card, or my rewards for it were... I wasn't offered the flight that I was able to book one way each way. So, I ended up booking two one-ways. And out of Chicago to Lisbon to London with a one-hour layover or something like that in Lisbon... It is like $190 there and like $210 back. It's so cheap.
Yeah, that's very good.
So it came out to be like $400 basically for what is essentially a round trip. So right now is the time to book. I mean, it's a little up in the air, I guess, on whether or not it'll happen. We think maybe
it's going to happen.
Okay, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Shane Van Boning did ask as well what your percentages on that one, but it's going to happen. We're going to happen. So
I'll be outside the government fighting them.
Yeah. Well, you have to be at least 6 feet away from Boris Johnson. He might still have the virus by then. So right now is a perfect time to book your flights. They're so cheap right now. They are so cheap. Just don't buy tickets yet for the event because I need to get mine. So I don't want you guys all booking yours so that I can make sure that I have mine. So don't worry about the tickets.
Did you just sit on a live chat and tell everyone not to buy tickets to the Moscone Cup?
Well, just until I can book mine. I got to make sure that I get mine, you know? I got to be selfish it. I got to be selfish, right? I'm an American. I have to be selfish. That's like...
Yes, okay. That's fun.
So yeah, right now, perfect time. Go, don't even wait. All right, fine. Book your tickets to the event too, I guess. So I think the next question, and this was somebody who reached out to the podcast for this question. We've been, you have been streaming the Matchroom events from the last few years recently.
Yeah.
How far back are we going to go? Can we go back into maybe the 90s, 2000s? I think.
Goodness. If we can find the tapes.
Because that'd be pretty cool. We could watch Joel Strickland play again. How cool would that be?
We're very conscious at the moment, the fact that there's obviously not any pool events that are happening for fans at the moment. And we would like there to be as much pool content on here as possible. So I know that the guys are very busy in looking at all of the stuff that we can get onto, obviously, our YouTube and our Facebook accounts. As soon as the Moscone Cup finishes, we're going to be running US Open, double elimination and the single elimination stage as well. But for obviously very old footage, it involves staff having to actually go into the edit suites and ingest all of the footage from tapes that are currently at like a stock room and things like that. So at the moment, we're told no one's allowed to go to work. So things like that we obviously have to think about. So we do have obviously a lot of factors going against it. But we, as long as this happens for, we're going to make sure that every pool fan is engaged with as much Matchroom footage as possible. So don't worry, pool is going to be constantly on your screens.
Which is good. We definitely need that. Although it's not good for my blood pressure, because every time I watch those videos, even though I know literally shot by shot because I was there, what's going to happen, I still get nervous. I still get nervous.
Yeah.
There was a match, the match that happened yesterday between Corey and Niels. I think it was Corey and Niels. Corey hung an 8-ball. And I knew he hung the 8-ball because I remember it happening live. And I still, audibly gasped at when he did it. I'm like, oh, no, Corey, oh. And then I remembered I already knew it was going to happen. It's the Moscone Cup thing. I mean, it's so fascinating. It's so encompassing to, like, all emotions. It's, like, such a great event, even if you're watching it for the 14th time.
Very addictive.
Yes. So the next question for the Moscone Cup.
Yeah.
What happens if the pool world, everything shuts down for the next six months or so, and all the Euro tours, all the qualifying events, all of those don't happen? How are you going to pick teams for the events?
I'm basically just going to pick whoever I want to be in it.
Out of
a
hat.
Obviously, I think I'm going to play. Maybe we can't put too many Matchroom staff in because obviously we need them to run the event.
I could play on the US team.
No, it's not getting that bad, trust me. I actually have some video phone calls tomorrow with both Europe captains and both USA captains. So Jeremy, Joey, we're going to be jumping on a phone call tomorrow. Alex and Carl, we've already got a Zoom's video scheduled in. And we had a team meeting about it today. We're very conscious of the fact that only a few... Oh, my God, I'm trying to talk here. All I can hear is you shouting. Oh, sorry. My mum's hilarious. I've got to introduce her to everyone.
Yeah, I feel like your mum has to make an appearance on this by the end of
it. Honestly, my thought process is just totally gone. We're very conscious of the fact that if no events happen or only a couple of events happen, that, you know, we've got to change the qualifying criteria, and that's absolutely fine. We're more than happy to do that. So our first steps was to obviously know that there's an issue here and that we need to reevaluate how we're choosing the Moscone Cup.
This is the high quality professional product that Matchroom puts out right here. This is the kind of stuff that we get with Matchroom Multisport.
Oh my God, this is Fraser Household. I think my dad just burnt himself or something. Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
The dog was trying to help. I could hear that. What were you saying about your thought processes?
How do I live on my own?
What were you talking about your thought processes? And
I'm sorry, my dad burned himself trying to make a cup of tea. This is literally quarantine life. If people think they have it bad at home, no. We obviously recognise, we recognise there's a problem. We know we need to do something about it. So our next steps are to talk to the captains because, you know, Matchroom aren't just going to put out four, five players out of our arse and just decide that's who's going to be in the team. It's a joint selection between us and obviously the captains. We're going to figure out if we still try and use some rankings and what needs to be wild cards, really. So we're going to have those conversations. We're going to make sure we start those and try and come to a decision quite soon. But obviously, we don't know what's going to happen with these next couple of events. Things could change in the next 6 weeks and there could be events starting to happen and we can use some of the rankings. Or there's going to be no events and we have to do wildcards as such. So it's still early days. We don't need to rush a decision, but it's very much on our minds. But we are very much going to work with the captains on it. It's not just, you know, a Matchroom decision. We're just going to rush out there. And we also want to be fair to the players. You know, if the players, certain players who have travelled the globe in the last 6 months, we should be paying attention to those. Not just ones that have just won the last couple of weeks or, for instance. So we're going to be trying to be as fair as possible, discuss it and come to a decision like that.
I can totally hear more screaming in the background. It's so good though. It's like, this is like quarantine 2020. This is,
I know,
this interview right here is like 2020 in a nutshell.
What's funny is that the dog's actually the most quiet. I can see him and he's just lying there, so he's the most quiet.
Yeah,
but okay. So this, sorry.
Oh,
I apologize, everyone.
This is just raw, perfect interview right here. This is probably the best interview I've ever done.
Oh, goodness me.
So, I do think Joshua Filler has to be a spot on Team Europe because I don't think he's put a pool cue down from what I've seen from Roy's basement. I don't think he's put a pool cue down
crazy.
For, like, somewhere between 4 and 6 weeks straight now. He's playing people one-handed, left-handed. I'm pretty sure he's going to, like, shoot blindfolded pretty soon. All the dude does is play pool.
I mean, fair play to them all. You know, they're... Roy's putting it up and they're all just in the basement, you know, playing away. And I think it's absolutely great to them that they're doing that. He's obviously, he loves the game so much. I'm not going to sit here and say, no, he's not on the team. Well, yes, he is on the team. But everyone will use a bit of common sense. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, for sure. And maybe that's a good sneak preview for next week. We might be doing another one of these with Roy next week.
Hope Roy brings some banter.
Yeah, Roy, you better bring this is what we get with Emily. We get screaming parents and barking dogs. What are you going to be bringing to the table, Roy?
And pajamas, because I did want to wear my full white suit and put, like, my makeup on, do my hair, but I thought, no, we're at home, we're in quarantine, so we're in my pajamas, in my Predator hoodie.
Which is smashing. People are loving that.
Do you know what? I'm not even just going to say it. It's really bloody comfortable. It is really comfy. But I love these stuff. So if anyone wants to send me some hoodies, I will happily wear them because I live in hoodies. I would love multiple hoodies. So
the Cue It Up podcast does have hoodies. I mean, I'm just saying.
Send them to me then. You say, come on.
All right, fine. I'll ship you a hoodie. So, as Carlos Sanchez says, Max Leshner has to be on the team. I actually agree with that. That's the only reason I'm saying it out loud. Max is awesome.
Really?
I love Max. I love Max's game. He just seems like such a smooth player and such a class act. So I can back that up.
I felt his position in the Whirlpool Masters this year. And to be completely honest, I was really rooting for him to be on the Whirlpool Masters this year. Felt that he really deserved it.
And he's also one of those players that really goes under the radar because he has such great players like Albin and Mario from his home country. So he doesn't always see it from like the World Cup of Pool and, for instance, like the World Pool Masters. So really felt like he was the right person to give that chance to at this time. I mean, he could go out there round one and fall flat on his arse and lose 7-0. But he is also a fantastic player, and I don't see that happening. I think that he will do very well in the Race 7 format. It was him, Billy Thorpe, who I thought was like a super good candidate for the World Pool Masters.
He's been playing so good lately.
Yeah, we have the Moscone Cup MVP, who automatically gets in. So Skylar's got in like that the last 2 years. Obviously, Shane is, in my opinion, is the best player in the world at the moment. And then we like to be able to have three USA players in there. We brought in Strickland last year. In my opinion, times are changing. Lovell, fantastic player. But it's time we give these players who are travelling the globe, spending their money to go to every event back to back. And that's what I noticed with Billy. He's been travelling, going to all the events, and he's with Shane. And that's, obviously, look at Shane. Look at how far he's come. So if I was a player, I'd be following what he's doing 100%. If I was a USA player, 100% be with Shane all the time, learning from him, following him to all these different events. And that's the dedication that you want to see. And that's why Billy made the World Pool Masters this year. And I felt that him, Max, really did deserve their spots on there. So I'm excited to see those players come through. Like I said, might fall on their ass first hurdle, but these are the young, exciting, fresh players. And Casper, these are ones that should be coming through. My God, my mum.
So now
she was just trying to be funny.
Shane just needs to teach Billy how to do some fishing, and then yeah, Billy will have arrived.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see those players as well. So they're the ones that don't always get the chance because they've got such strong players, obviously, in their own countries, such especially with Finland. You know, it's always been Mika. Mika's always been the front runner. And then, obviously, for World Cup of Pool, that's when Petri come in. And rightly so, a couple of years ago, Petri actually rightly got his spot on the World Pool Masters. And then I was at the World Nine Ball in Qatar, and I saw Casper play, and I saw how well he played against someone like Josh Villa. And it was just really quite impressive. And why not give him a chance? Like I said, these are the players we should be giving the chances to, because if you're a young junior right now and you're practicing, you're going to get your autographs from your top players, or you tune in to the World Pool Masters, you tune into the Moscone Cup. You want to be able to see your chance to be able to become that player. If we are always just bringing in players because they're big names or they've been on the scene for ages, how is this sport ever going to grow? We need the personalities. Yes, it's a live TV show. We need personalities. But we also need this pure talent that is now coming through.
We need
the younger players are getting better.
Nayuki Oi's there for personality. We got Nayuki
Oi. No, but don't let him fool you. He is a bloody good player.
Oh, he's like, a very good player.
He's a fantastic player, but he's just absolutely hilarious.
He's so goofy. He's my favorite. My favorite player in the world to watch is Alexander Kazakis. My favorite pool player in the world to watch for other reasons is Nayuki Oi. He's so animated. He's so colorful. I got a feeling he's really smart too. He just looks like somebody who's really smart.
And I'll put it into perspective for everyone. The first interview that Naoki Oi did for us at the World Pool Masters got us more views than the entire tournament put together.
I have an apple. I have a bear.
Yes.
I still don't know what that means, but it's so funny.
It might, like, obviously that was a few years ago, but that's how that really sunk in for me when I realised that happened, and I was like, oh my God, how many views have we just got for this one video? In comparison to how many views we've got for the entire tournament, something is wrong with this tournament. We need to do something different. And that's why we need to increase the production value, and we need to increase the personalities we're bringing in, but in a good way. That's also, all of the matches are so much more exciting now. And this will be the best Whirlpool Masters yet. It's just a shame that it's delayed, but
yeah,
it will be even juicier. I promise you.
So the last question, this will be the last question that I have, and then we will open up to fans' questions. So get your questions in now. I will be monitoring the stream chat. And, of course, Carl, none of your questions will be asked because you're trying to get me in trouble, and that's not nice. So get your questions in now. And so the last question I'll ask is for the Moscone Cup. We now have two new coaches for Europe and then one new coach on the U.S. But then, a promotion from Jeremy from vice to captain. And Joey Gray, and then Carl and Alex. What do you think that might have on the dynamic of the Moscone Cup, as far as what might happen? Do you think it's going to be a good thing? What do you think is going to happen?
It's probably the best decision we've ever made in regards to the Moscone Cup. First of all, incorporating a vice captain has been a fantastic task, and it was very important to be able to do that in 2018 because, and no disrespect to Johan did a fabulous job with Team USA, but it allowed for Jeremy to shine some light on Jeremy and to actually show what he did for the team. A lot of it was very much behind the scenes that a lot of people didn't see. Only people like myself or, just more staff that actually saw what was happening and how it affected the dynamic of Team USA to actually becoming a team, not how they were going down on a shot or something. Sorry, I'm not too technical. We all know that. But incorporating a vice captain, it just builds the event. All of a sudden, there's one more person to think about. Again, as well, it's one more flight to book, one more hotel to book, one more fee to book for us. But again, it builds the production value. So all of a sudden, we've got five players, we've got a captain, and we've got a vice-captain. We've got this close-knit team, and it worked very well for USA. And in Vegas last year, there were a few things that were happening where Marcus and Johan were going head-to-head, which, bloody brilliant. I love all that stuff, not knocking it at all. But what was happening is that Johan had Jeremy there, and Marcus was only on his own. And 9 times out of 10, he had the players out there, or he had the players out in the practice room. And it really lacked it on the Europe side. And so whatever was going to happen for this year, we already decided 2019 at the Moscone Cup that we would have to bring a vice-captain for Europe. We just needed to do it. So now we've got captain and vice-captain for both teams. It was one of the best decisions we've ever done. I also think that the actual selections are fantastic. I've never had such an engaging captain and vice captain in my entire time at being at Matchroom. We talk every day, pretty much. Once or twice a week. And it's ideas, but it's not even just about the Moscone. It's just talking, like, how are you and things like that. And that's what we want to see from the captains. Again, and I've explained this so many times, Moscone Cup is not just a one-day event or 4 days in 365 days a year. It is a whole year-round event. And these four people know that, and they are engaging with that. They're talking with the potential players, and they're actually working together because they recognise that this is the career booster. Everyone knows, if anyone disagrees, then you lost your shit, you're smoking crack. But the Moscone Cup will boost your career 100%, whether you're a player or a coach, it will boost your career. It's the one event that really will, the exposure alone. So everyone knows that this is the one where you get together and you bloody win. And it's just so good to be able to see that
we have so much passion from the captains. I mean, you've got Alex Layley, who is this quite stern, serious, he's an extremely good coach, so knowledgeable, one of our commentators. So obviously he's one of the best. He's one of our commentators. We only hire the best people out there. Then he's also coupled with Carl. Obviously Carl's a pain in the ass. He thinks he's hilarious. He's actually not that funny. And he was like, what are those artists that are like one hit wonders? You know, like Paul Young or something like that. You know, it's just like artists who are like, they bring out like this one or two songs and they're great. Like Carl kind of did that with a few events when he was younger. No, I'm only joking. he's very knowledgeable in our matchroom events and in pool, and he doesn't quite get that recognition. I think he's been commentating a lot on the matchroom events, and we've pushed him as a pundit because, again, he's young, he's fresh, and this is what should be fronting on our commentary and off the rail and things like that. So now Carl's coming alongside Alex Layley. You've got the serious of Alex, but then you've got Carl. But he shouldn't be underestimated because he knows the format so well. He will be the one that will figure out the lineups, and the lineup will come out and everyone will go, oh, yeah. Like, that's spot on sort of thing. And it's, Marcus didn't quite get that. And fair play to him. You know, sometimes when the lineups come through and we have to double check them, they are confusing because you have to check, obviously, who's played here and who's played that. And we've tried to look at ways to simplify it for the fans, but it is what it is. And then you've got on the other side, you've got Jeremy, who's this, like, cool cat, very respected by the USA players, so knowledgeable, the best commentator out there. Again, we have him on our matchroom pool events because he's bloody best. And then we've got Joey Gray, and I openly said I had no idea who Joey was. I didn't know, but Jeremy said he's going to be good, and I think he's going to bring something to the team that someone else can't. And we trust Jeremy, and we trust that he wants to win, and we trust that he wants the best for his USA players because that's what he wants. He is your true US, like, hardcore fan. He wants the American team to go out there and win and give it their all. And he actually wants them to do well as players, not just on the Moscone Cup. So he made that decision, gotten to know Joey a little bit. He seems like he's going to be very good with regards to mentally coaching the players, going to the gym. Like I told you, he's been giving me workouts like every day since I've been in home, like just quarantined at home. So I think the two of them is a very good combination. And obviously I spent a little bit of time with them recently in Vegas, and I've already seen the team is just different dynamic, very different. If you're not, you can just tell anyone who wants to be on Team USA and you are not a team player, 100%, you are not getting in. This is different now. It is different. It's not just every man for themselves. This is a team. These are five individual players who normally play against each other coming together with their two captains and actually working with one another. Europe have always been like that, slightly. They were a little bit disconnected the last couple of years. But you can't underestimate Europe because I think they're going to come out very strong. I don't know. It's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough. And you just saw it when you look back at 2017, how disappointing and how horrible of an event it was and how it's built over the year because everyone's buying into it and everyone, even the American fans, they all turned up in 2019 in Vegas. They all turned up. Look at the atmosphere. It was incredible. So the captains, 100%, and I'll stand by it, even December the 5th, 2020, the best decision we've made in regards to the Moscone Cup, definitely, for this year.
For sure. So we will open this up now to fan questions, unless your mom wants to come in and say hi.
No, I'm hoping she's fallen asleep on the sofa.
So everybody get your questions in, because I have lost a lot of them, so whoops.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
If you've already asked a good question, ask it again. You have nothing better to do. You can't go outside. So type up some questions.
I will say, do you know who's tuning in at the moment? Because is Catchy tuning in?
Oh yeah, Eklanti has been blowing okay. up the he's been blowing up so, the chat room.
He best wait because I've got it in for him now because he tried to stitch me up on a recent Facebook post, and so he better watch out. That's Ooh. All I'm gonna say.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, better watch out.
Yeah, and no, we're not gonna increase the shot clock for you. It's still gonna be the same 30 seconds. So you're gonna have to carry on practicing, speeding up.
If you need help with
that. That's what we need. If someone can call Catchy and just give him like some lessons on how to just be a bit more bubbly at the table, get your personality across a little bit, just a little bit of banter, because, you know, Earl called him out on it, the Welcome Masters last year, and it was so funny. So, yeah, let's hope Catchy can bring a bit. You see Filler, you see Jason, who else do you see do it? You don't really see that from Catchy, you know, getting sort of a bit cocky or getting all up on the other team sort of thing. I'd quite like to see him branch out a little bit.
Yeah.
So we know he's got that fire in him. We'll wait and see, I guess.
Yeah. So the first question, he posted a bunch of really good questions. He's clearly from India, because most of them are those questions. But from Chetan, how do you see growing the sport in the world? Do you have any plans for creating a college or school level leagues? And can it be done on a global scale, basically? Do you ever have any, and maybe we should branch this out for maybe just country leagues as well, maybe.
I think we're only going to stick with professional nine ball. I would love to be able to host more amateur leagues alongside our events. It brings in a lot of crowd, brings in a lot of fans, and actually a lot of just atmosphere, really. We'd like to do a lot more with juniors, so more junior events, for instance, the same as what we're doing for the US Open, and have a junior US Open event alongside. But on the league side of things, look, we'll leave that to the people who know what they're doing. Our strength is professional TV events, and that's what we will stick to. But we're open to new discussions. We're open for, I don't know, the BCA to come in and to be able to hold leagues. And we've just started a very good relationship with the BCA as well. And we're opening those conversations because we shouldn't just be going to each venue and holding the US Open and just having a US Open event. We should be having multiple events there, so you're not just coming to watch the US Open, you are coming for a whole weekend of pool, vendors everywhere, amateur matches happening. But it doesn't mean that we're doing it as such. We stick to what we know. We'd like to branch out and do new events. It's definitely in the back of the mind. But again, we like to won't run before we can walk. We have to perfect and also increase the viewership of our already events that we've got. We can't just put a load of events on across the world. You know, let's not be silly. There's no money in pool. Let's make sure that we build this up, build up the viewership for our own events. But I've got my eyes set on doing something big. So, not yet, but it's there.
Another question from the same person, because this is a good one. How do you envision getting more women into pool, especially at the higher levels, based off of the previous answer?
Okay, so, well, example number one was the 2 World Pool Masters spots. We could have given them to, first of all, could have given them to Dennis Grabe, for instance. He only come in from Johan Chua. So those 2 spots could have gone to 2 men. But no, they went to 2 female players who were at the top who... we feel the top female players at the moment. But, and I've said it a few times, I would like to see these players signing up for the US Open. I know that it's a very male-dominated game, and I know that it is very different when it comes to male and female, but as far as I know and I'm concerned, if I want to be the best in the world, I want to be the best against men and women, not just women. I want to be in all of the events. I want to be owning it with every, like,
want to be against everyone. So as soon as we see some higher participation in our open events, i.e. the US Open, and don't get me wrong, if, for instance, I get 20 women that turn around to me and say, we will 100% be in the US Open, can you guarantee our spot? Yes. I'd happily do that. And I know that would go down probably not great with some players because it's, you know, favouritism or whatever. But let's give everyone a chance. Let's also give women a chance to be able to play against men. So, for instance, if I had 20 female players that wanted to play in the US Open in future years, we would set aside 20 for women. World Pool Championship. There is going to be places set aside for women, 100%. So we are going to see higher participation, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. This is a male-dominated sport. The Moscone Cup, we're not just going to put a female wild card on. I mean, why would we do that? We need to look at it sensibly. But again, we need to make sure that the women are actually seeing themselves amongst the best. I mean, I love that I saw Pia Filler, Jasmine Alshan, both signed up to the US Open this year. I mean, for early doors. And it was just, it's just so motivating as well. And I think that other female players find that motivating and they should be able to look at that and say, yeah, I want to be like that. Double elimination as well. You're giving yourself a chance. Again, it's $1,000 entry. But if I knew that I was going to be the best, you'd put it up sort of thing. So as soon as we start seeing that increase, let's bring in some women commentators, 100%. I'm so open to new suggestions and things like that. But we need to see a little bit come back from the other women. I mean, even if some of the top players, top female players, started like a Facebook group with me in it, just sharing all their ideas, 100%, I'm totally open. So I need to see something from everyone. I can't just go, okay, here's a women's event, because it's not showing any viewership. We've got no proof. So step by step, but you need to see something first.
Yeah.
You need to see a little bite.
Would a all-female Moscone, like, obviously it wouldn't be a Moscone then, no?
No, because, again, the way that we are going down for Matchroom, these are mixed events. They're open to everyone.
Yeah.
That's how it should be.
Yeah.
So, again, I understand that it is a male-dominated sport and women should be given that opportunity and have women-only competitions, but that's not... We see it as open. I mean, Simin Chen did fantastically at the US Open last year. Kelly and Jasmine are both in the Whirlpool Masters this year. So we are giving women a chance. Let's make it mixed. And let's open this up so it's not so much of a male-dominated sport. If we hold a women-only Moscone, we're only going to make a step back, not forwards.
Of course. So for the Moscone Cup this year, there is going to be, I'm assuming, the pre-match with the U.S. versus the London team again. Do we have any insights on who might be on the London team?
Oh, it's not going to be a London team. That's all I'm going to tell you. I nearly just told you that, though. We are working on the warm-up matches. Things have stopped slightly because, obviously, the current situation where we're rescheduling events. There was a point where I wasn't sure if we had to hold the US Open and finish it 2 days before the Moscone Cup. So at the moment, we've got scheduled in for a USA and a Europe warm-up match. There's going to be two. So, I mean, it's not fair. We've been giving it to USA for the last 2 years, but it does obviously cost us double. So there is a reason why we only do one. But again, we've brought in vice captains to increase the production value. So let's do two warm-up matches. But these are going to be, and no disrespect to the other guys, these are going to be proper teams. Two teams, USA v. one, country-led, and Europe v. another. So across 2 days, it's going to be very exciting. So obviously just listen out for our announcements. Like I said, things have just come to a halt recently because of our current situation. But we have some very exciting plans for that one.
I hope it's not Team Philippines, because that would be a...
Oh, no, that would cost way too
much. That would be a stacked team, too, right?
No, that would cost way too much. Too much.
That would be awesome, though. Well,
Yeah.
Keep the questions coming in the chat if you would if you have any questions that you would like to have asked, of course. Let's see here. I think, this could be a fun one. How about a captain match?
Oh, do you know what? I really want to do this. So for the Moscone Cup, you know, has anyone seen like our golden buzzer that we do on our events, our other events? We do it for gymnastics, netball, basketball, ping pong. And it's this big golden buzzer. I'll show a picture of it after this. And basically players get like a power play. And so it's like double points. So in ping pong, before you serve, it has to be when you serve, you run over to the big box that we created. It has this big old golden button on the top. And, God, my parents are singing. Oh, my God. They're absolutely nuts, I swear. So you get double points if you push it. Then in gymnastics, in netball and basketball, it's a two-minute power play. So for 2 full minutes, and it can only be taken by one team at one time, and it doubles your points for 2 minutes. So you could be 20 points down, pick your 2 minutes, and then double your points, and obviously you can make you win the game. So for pool, I've been trying to think how we can bring this into pool, but I don't want it to be too gimmicky. And Jake in our team, every time I mention golden buzzer, I sit there and go, how can we bring the golden buzzer into pool? And he rolls his eyes at me because he's like, just stop. Because he's like, you're just ruining it, Emily. But the thought was, if you hit the golden buzzer, the captains come in and they play a rack against each other. Or you can hit the buzzer and you get a teammate to come in and to do that. So maybe the captains. And now we've actually got playing captains on the team. We could do it. But I don't want to make the Moscone Cup too gimmicky, I'm not going to lie. maybe we'll save it for, I don't know, a time that's right. But the captains playing one another might be a good idea. We'll sit on it. Maybe for the warm-up match.
That could be maybe. Fun.
Yeah.
Throw them into maybe the team event for the first point. So then you have seven players cycling through.
But there's only 5 racks.
Yeah, you may have to extend the race, though. Yeah, you might have to extend it to 9.
No, format works too well.
Yeah, it is remarkably exciting. That would be. Mm-hmm. Roy says that he wants to do a scrimmage with Team Yes A and his team.
He wants to what? Do a...
He wants to do this the U.S. team, the warm-up, the Moscone warm-up, Team USA versus his team.
What would his team be? I want to know what his team would be. Well, I do kind of have something in place, but I'm intrigued.
Well, I guess the players on his, he's got players like Dennis Arcoyo, Francisco Bustamante, Choi. Of course, he's got Christina Tkach. Of course, James Aranis.
Yeah,
we
need
James
to get all those.
Joshua Filler.
Need to get all those players to London, obviously.
Well, that's his job. Make him do it.
Well, tell him to reach out. Roy, reach out to me. It's always worth a conversation.
Now I got to go over to Royce because he's got them all.
Oh my God. What is wrong with you guys? They're literally getting Alexa to play these random music.
What? You know, this is, like I said earlier, this is what you get from Matchroom Multi. This is the quality of production that you get out of Matchroom.
Oh my God, they're absolute nightmare. Can you hear the music in the background?
Oh yeah, I can hear it, yeah. Ruslan Chinnikov, Siming Chen, Johan Chua, Carlo Biato, Alex Peggy-Lyon are some that I missed. So he could support a pretty good team to take on US. Roy.
Yeah, that would be quite good.
Roy, get
it going. So what other questions?
Yeah, I suppose I should have been next one, huh? Carl says he can't lose in the coaches. So some smack talk already starting.
Oh, God.
Ooh, this is a really good question. I think I already know the answer to it because it's, but anyways, from John Scooter, has Mashroom discussed opening up the U.S. betting markets for gambling on pool?
For what? They done what?
So the U.S. is, you can't, all those sports, so I guess basically the question is that is no. So it's, the U.S. doesn't allow sports betting at a wide scale level, unlike other sports. So, I don't even think you could get a line on the Moscone Cup in the U.S. this last Moscone Cup. I didn't look at the sports book at Mandalay Bay, and the one at Luxor next door, but they didn't offer any betting lines on the Moscone Cup. But they do offer it in London because I placed a small bet last year, for kicks and giggles. Is that going to be something that U.S. might be interested in the future, is trying to work with some of the casinos to get lines on the actual matches?
It's not actually us. It's just they've only just started to legalize sports betting in Nevada. So it's actually in London. You're actually allowed to do it because the event is hosted in London and it's hosted in the UK. Yeah. So it's not something that we obstruct or stop, basically. So it is just down to the state. And
that's a U.S. thing. The U.S. doesn't allow it. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're just restricted as to if where the event is held. That's where there's the problem. But when we're held in the U.K., obviously there's no issue.
Yeah.
When it comes to things like that. So.
Yeah. Roy says Roy's basement. Team Roy's basement. Dennis Arcoyo, James Aranis, Alex Pagulayan, Carlo Beato, and Joshua Filler. Joshua Filler would be completely predicated off whether he made Europe, I would assume. But
yeah, so he wouldn't be able to join.
But you could probably replace him with, like, Boosty. Maybe,
I mean, if he's paying for all of them to come over to London, then yeah, sure. Let's open up the conversation.
There you go, Roy. You know it. You know what it is now. Joey Gray started some smack talk, too. Their captains no chance.
I thought you meant against me. I was like, okay, bring it on.
Somebody's asking what size hoodie do you wear. I don't know if it's probably referring to you. Maybe you'll get a hoodie out of this.
I don't know. I think this is a small. Small or medium? I think. I'm not tiny, but I'm also not super fat, so... Medium.
Well, if you keep spending a little more time in the U.S., we could probably fatten you up a little.
Oh, I love the U.S. food. I think the U.S. is secretly like my favorite place.
It's totally comfort food. Yeah. And it's the only country where the air actually has calories in it. That's a joke, of course. There's just so much. There's so much fatness in the U.S.
Any good questions?
I'm not seeing any other ones. The world. Yeah, I think that's about it. So, Emily, it has been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you. What I'll do is I'll go back through the comments and anything that I haven't answered, I'll go back and answer just on message or whatever. Just make sure that everyone obviously... got their questions answered. Thank you for having me. Sorry for me ranting on for like an hour and however long it is. I feel really bad for my family because they've actually tried to be really quiet for this long.
They were and successful asking, for like, a little while of it.
Like, are you done? Can we carry on to being normal now? But if anyone actually thought that that was normal, them being normal, that's not going to happen. So, but... yeah, they're great. I'm going to go spend some time with them now.
For sure. And hopefully next week we will be doing this again at some point in time next week with Roy as a three-way.
Yes.
That would be fun.
And if anyone has any trick shots that a normal person could try and do, I can try and do it on this table. But I probably won't be able to do it, I'm not going to lie.
I'll have to, I'll reach out to Florian and see if he could hook you up with some easy ones.
he can try and teach me. But, yeah, thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Appreciate it. And thanks, Mike.
Yep, of course.
All right, see you soon.
Yep, take care.
Cheers. Bye.